I never did a book report in school properly. I got those little cliff notes, you know. You know what's wrong with Baptist churches? They use cliff notes. I want to speak on two things tonight. What is a Baptist? And our ministry covenant. Our ministry covenant. Having received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and been baptized and being in agreement with ARBC, which is the Amity Road Baptist Church, statement, strategy, and structure, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the Amity Road Baptist Church family. In doing so, I commit myself first to God and then to the other members by doing the following. Number one, I will do my part to love others, pray for others, encourage others, admonish others, greet others, serve others, teach others, accept others, honor others, bear others' burdens, forgive others, sing to others, submit to others, and to devote to others. That's what every member of a sound church ought to do. We're a family. I've heard a lot of you say, this is my church family. When we were out, and we opened it back up on our little list that we got, you know, glad to be with the church family. Hi, church family. We're praying for you, church family. When one has a problem, we all have a problem. Right? But if one messes up, not all get on that mess up side. We all pray for the one that messed up. And we all try to help the person that messed up. But when the person refuses to help him or herself, you got to turn them over to the Lord. I remember my wife, as slow as it happened today, she sat Anthony down when he started messing up. And she said, son, I'm going to pray that God takes you. I have turned you over to the Lord. That's hard to pray like that. But you might as well, because your children and my children belong to the Lord anyway. They really don't belong to us. They're gifts. They're lent children. God lent them to us. So what are these things that in a ministry covenant? I will do my part to love others, pray for others, encourage others. You know, everything that we read in that list, that we are to treat our church family like our family, like I say the way my family used to be. See, when I was home, we was one of 14 kids, and every Sunday, everybody came home. On Wednesday night, four of the oldest ones came home. They didn't have a phone, but they would check and see if mom and dad and the kids needed anything. Now, I realize with all the stuff going on now, you know, can't leave on Monday night. That's my favorite television program. Can't do this because, you know, that's what we do. And when you do that, the family falls apart. When you do that, the church falls apart. Number two, I will protect the unity of this ministry by acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, and by following the leaders. I tell people, you know, they have come to me to talk about their pastor. Showed up at the wrong door. What goes on at any other church is none of my concern, but none of my business. And I'm certainly not going to try to give advice over the shepherd that God put in charge of the church. Now, there's only two divine organizations, the family and the church. How would you feel if your neighbor came over and said, I know you mean well, but I want to point out to you how you are not handling that situation with your daughter right. I know what mom would have done. Before she got it all out of her mouth, she'd been on the floor. We don't have the right to take it upon ourselves to tell somebody else. What do? We pray for them. We're there to encourage them. We're there to do whatever we can, but we can't help a family by taking the authority that we don't have. No other pastor has the authority over Hammond Road Baptist Church but this one. It's the only one. The church can ask the pastor to leave. And they can find them one that will go along with, if you got 100 members, 100 different people. And nobody knows what's going on. Isn't that right? That's right, Brother Lance. God said in the book of Romans 14 and verse 19, I'm half blind. I've got a new pair of glasses, and I don't know. I thought I went to an eye doctor. He said here in 14:19, he said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace wherein, peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. You understand that verse? Romans 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Anything that doesn't make peace in my life, I shouldn't follow. And it's a difference between praying for a situation and getting involved in a situation and taking sides in a situation that we really know nothing about. In the book of Ephesians, we see also in chapter 4 and verse 29, God said, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. I shouldn't say anything about any member of this church, and you shouldn't say anything about any member of this church that doesn't lift them up. But it's so easy to point out one another's bad parts, you know. Because there's some good in me. You may have to look for it, but there's some good in me. And if you can't point out that good in me, you shouldn't do anything for me except pray. Is that right? Our minister, Chubbin. Number three, I will share the responsibility of this ministry by praying for his growth, by inviting others to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit. You know, if I follow a family on Facebook long enough, I'll see how many times they use the bathroom. I mean, I can give you the name and you can look. A couple days ago, this lady was talking to somebody and she said, I was up all night and I went to the bathroom six times. Can you imagine that? Six times. I can imagine her doing that. She was so excited in her talk. Who cares? Nobody needs to know that. And nobody don't need to go. If you and your husband, you and your wife had a little argument last night, you shouldn't tell that. God already knows. And that's the only person needs to know. But to make Tony look good, I've got to put somebody else down. Good preaching, Tony. God said in 1 Thessalonians. Now, when we look at the Word of God and we see what the Lord does and how He blesses us and you know, we can just know that, you know, He is the God of the Bible. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. I mean, just everything that we need to do. We just got to follow Him and listen to Him. And so when we read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, now see here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul and Silas and Timothy unto the church of Thessalonica, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. Doing what? Making mention of you in our prayers. Brother Kelly used to be out of California. He's in Alabama. I was out of California. And I preached for him. We supported him for years. We are part of that ministry. When you support somebody with your money and you support them with your prayers, you're part of that ministry. Well, if God has added you to Ammon Road and He's added me to Ammon Road, then when I have a problem, you should have a problem. Now, you don't go in and try to take care of my problems sometimes, but you can remember me in your prayers. Prayer works. Amen. God said in the book of James, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Not self-righteous, but righteous. That means somebody that is trying to live right. according to the Word of God. And that's all that any of us can do. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to get harder and harder. You know, we don't want to be so negative. A person whose job, he's got to drive a lot. And he said he filled up a couple, 3 weeks ago, or first of the month, whatever it was, and it was where he bought the gas, it was $2 a gallon. And he filled up yesterday, that was $2.49. I said, you'll be looking back on yesterday and saying those are the good old days. Because I'm telling you, the gas is going to go higher than we've seen it in some time. You say, well, I'll just drive less. It'll affect your lights. It'll affect your heat. And when they get finished, you won't have any coal stoves or wood stoves. So what can we do? God permitted them in. God can, not saying I'm praying for this, but, you know, I was just reading a couple days ago where God says open up the earth and those people disappeared. Men, women, children, babies, livestock. Said, how can you? God does all things well. Amen. And when those times get rough, we need the prayers of God's people. Amen. We need the prayers of God's people. Notice Romans chapter 15. In verse 7, God said here, Romans, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I don't know about you, but when God received me, he didn't get much. I was totally a sinful, depraved. But look what he can do. He can take an old country boy that can't talk, got health problems, put him in the ministry, and keep him there for 50-some years. Only God can do that.
Amen.
So our ministry, Covenant, should be that I will share the responsibility of the ministry by praying for his growth. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or fill out a form, but, you know, it really takes some dedication to pray that God will save people and add to this church, to pray that every day. I see my beautiful granddaughter, the one that, you know, that Jay has, and she put pictures of her, and, you know, she's beautiful, and I look at her, and I say, oh, man, you know, but what she faced, I faced when I went to school of somebody making fun of me because my hair was long, there was holes in my pants, you know. Did I know that 40 years later they'd buy a brand new pair of pants and cut holes in them, you know? But she's going to have to go to school, and some pervert can follow her into the bathroom. And I hope somebody with as much sense as I have is nearby, because I want to believe I'm a tooth fairy. Because when he comes out, he won't have no teeth. That's the only way that stuff is going to stop. Sure. And we don't want to do that, so what can we do? As God said here in Romans, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also receive us to the glory of God. Receive one another and then pray for one another. Number four, I will serve the ministry by discovering the gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve my pastor and other ministries, and developing a servant's heart. I'm not bragging. I want you to know I am. My wife been married to me 50-some years. She knows. She can tell you. I don't brag. I think I'm very fortunate to even be here. I'm fortunate to have what I have, to know what I know. But when I left Grace Baptist Church in Georgetown to go to Lawrenceburg to pastor at mission, it took several people to do the jobs that this one person was doing. And I shouldn't have had to do that, because there were people in that church that could do it. But you know what I found out? If somebody will do it, the other nine will sit there and watch them do it. Now, I didn't say this teaching was going to make you feel good. I'm just saying that we need to understand that this ministry here doesn't belong to Pastor Tony Vance. It belongs to the Ammon Road Baptist Church membership. And I wanted to be a church that, if you're here tonight and know not Christ, that this is the kind of church you'd want to be a member of. You got a pastor you can come to and tell me your deepest secrets, and I won't even tell my wife if you ask me not to. It takes grace to do that. Because me and my wife became one. But if Steve said, Brother Vance, it's between me and you, he can lay down at night and know it's between me and him. That's called integrity. That's called being what you should be. And it's hard. Because my wife is part of me. Fourthly, I will serve the ministry by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve my pastor and other ministry, by developing a servant's heart. See, the easiest answer is, Pastor, I'd really like to help, but I can't do nothing. I don't know how to do nothing. I wonder, you know, a man told me that one day down at Hebron. I said, I'm going to pray for your beautiful wife. Because I can't imagine being married to a man for 20 years and him not know how to do nothing. God tells us in many places in the Word of God, you know, and that we need to take it upon ourselves to use the talents that God has given us for his glory, for this honor. You know, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for the Lord. When we feel that way, notice Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul's writing to the church that Ephesus said, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We should not be ashamed of what we believe.
Amen.
somebody don't believe it, I'm not going to argue with them. I didn't believe it on my own either. The Spirit of God taught me, and if they believe it, the Spirit of God is going to have to teach them. But I mean, it's so clear here in Ephesians 4, you know, when God makes it clear what he wants us to do. He said here in verse 11, you know, in Ephesians 4, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, remember here, he gave some and he named them. I just don't believe, you know, Lewis, I don't want him to get mad at me, you know, but Lewis used to tell me, he said, don't let nobody wash those windows. That's my ministry. I was thankful he felt that way, but I couldn't find that in scriptures, you know. What I'm saying, if he had been given that ministry, then nobody else could have washed the windows till God gave them the ministry of washing the windows. But we ought to feel there's nobody can do this as good as I'm doing it because I'm doing it for the Lord. And God led me to do it. He put that upon my heart to do it. Amen. And then when he did that, see, he said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We're not perfect yet. But if we keep doing what God tells us to do, whether nobody else does it or not, we will become perfect or mature. That's what maturity means. We have reached perfection in that area that God has given us to do. See, you can't tell yourself, I can't do that. I was overlooking a lesson that Caitlin had written. I overlooked one that Neela had written. And I believe I had to look at Neela and say, 3 years ago, you think you could have done that? And she said, no. 3 years ago, I couldn't do that if I said, write us out some lessons. But it's called maturity. It's called, I want to do something. I want to be used for the Lord. And any of you, if you put your mind to it and you wrote Sunday school lessons for the little ones when we get them, not if we get them, when we get them, it would be better lessons than the ones you buy. And that's what he's talking about, our ministry covenant. I will serve this ministry by discovering my gifts. You know what most people say? I don't have no gifts, Pastor. I can't do nothing. How long have you been working at this place? Almost 30 years. Doing nothing? Are they hiring? Sure, we can do it. But we got to apply ourselves. And we may be 2 years off. We may be 6 months off. But we got to have a vision. You know why? Because my people perish for lack of vision. The last one, I will actively support the testimony of this ministry by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, by giving regularly. This is my church. Not everybody, you know, finishes. But whether, you know, the person turned out to be what you thought they would be, you know, we was remembering Bill Ills. Bill would get up and he would do his devotion. Brother Greg would give up and give his devotion. Now, there were some that we used to have here that they could give more technical devotions. You know, they had all their I's dotted and their T's crossed. But it's something different when it comes from the heart. So in this ministry, Trubden, you know, and I didn't look up all the things, but I said, I fully understand that these five commandments are what membership in a local body of believers is all about. These are my responsibilities as a member of the Emerald Road Baptist Church family, and I accept them, so help me, God. And at the bottom of it, I left name and date. And I think I put him out on the table or somewhere, but never did get one back. But you said that in your baptism. When you baptized, you went into the waters, you say, God has saved me and led me to be an active part in this church. So at this point, I'm dead to self. I'm alive to the Lord. And when God saves a person, he saves them to serve. He said, but I, you know. See, I gotta face it. You know, and I'm not feeling sorry for self at all, you know. God hadn't asked me, but if he ever asked me, if he ever said, Pastor, how would you like to die? I said, I'd like to die right here in the pulpit. I'd like to die out on visitation. I'd like to die sitting in my study, because that's what he saved me for. And because you retire from pastoring or you get too sick to go to church, it don't mean you're finished. A lot of prayers are answered by church members that are too sick to attend. They drop their prayer time and they pray. Of course, our time is gone, so I'll get this for next Wednesday. But what is a Baptist? You know, the B, you know, Baptists are Bible people. A, the word autonomous comes from two Greek words that mean self and law. Autonomous means a self-governing and self-directing. We don't need to look and see what St. John's Baptist Church or Muddy Hill Baptist Church is doing. We just need to be, are we doing what God wants us to do? But we need a vision. We need a vision. And I have a vision, you know. If we can just get rid of this virus and all this other stuff where we can have meetings and singing, gatherings. But it's got to be based on the Word of God. But you know, I'm not sure whether this book is still in print, but I'm going to find out. And if you don't have one, I mean, you can get the small one, but when you're getting my AIDS and cataract surgery, and you may have to have cataract surgery on top of cataract surgery, you know. But it's got this good thing. Anna back on the back seat, just smiling. You know, I wonder what she's smiling about. She disappeared. See, there's advantage to all those things. Amen. I love the Lord. I love His people. We got to get our game together and start playing for the Lord. Now, I use the word playing. If your kids ever came in, Sister Crazy, and nod your heads, all they've been doing is playing all day long. They're tired, man. They'll eat and you're not careful. They're We need to start playing for the Lord. We put all of our energy in it.